Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone from Orlando, where he is at the Medical Examiner's Board meeting, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. One thing I want to start with, we had a homicide up near the Okaloosa state line near Holt. Is that right? What happened here?
Yeah, basically, it was a girlfriend-boyfriend situation. He ended up shooting and killing her and then taking off, and we caught him a very short time later, and he's currently in our jail. So, and then, of course, we had the other one in Gulf Breeze where the we just arrested the mother for killing her daughter. So the first couple of months of 2026 are not what we would call stellar in Santa Rosa County. But we're dealing with it. At least we've collared up on both of them. So
and the one that was Reagan Barber, that actually took place like what, back in November or something, right? This is a charging now. Is this right?
Right. Correct. It was November 25th, I think, is when it actually occurred. And the reason it took so long on this one was we had to wait for phones to be downloaded and camera stuff and all that before we actually made the arrest. So.
Do we know any more at this point, or can you say any? I'm sure you know more, but can you say any more either about motive or what happened or anything in that case?
Yeah, no, we really can't. We know the motive, but we're not really going to talk about it at this point because we're not totally sure, you know, of a couple of different things.
Okay.
Now that she's in custody, we're going to have to go back and re-interview a bunch of people because they didn't want to talk to us before because she was out and about. So hopefully we can re-interview some people and get some more information.
Okay, so the concern about witness intimidation or relationships or just willingness to disclose, we're hoping to get more now. Okay, all right, I gotcha. And then, the boyfriend who killed the girlfriend allegedly, up on Highway 90 and then fled, anything else about that we ought to know? Was there pre-existing problems? Do we know motive? Was it just heat of the moment, or anything?
Yeah, well, right now we don't really know. He's not talking, which is, you know, kind of common. So we're having to piece together a bunch of stuff. But the main thing I want to let everybody know is he is in custody. Mm-hmm. So there's no threat to the community. We got him really quick. So it was a great job by my major crimes unit.
Very good. We also had I don't know exactly how to classify this one, but a guy from Jay and his son who stole several tons worth of asphalt milling from a county lot. Is that right?
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. It's apparently they needed a driveway. I don't know. when I had to have a driveway, I had to pay for it. So,
so they went and stole like rocks or the milling. I don't know enough about construction. No, but they stole road before it was road.
Yeah, well, I think what it is the milling and stuff. It's one of two things. It's either the stuff when they break up the road and then they crush it up and then people can use it for driveways and stuff, or it's the milling for the road. And I don't know that they specified which one, but it was one of the two. So
this doesn't seem like the most cost-effective thing to steal.
No, it's not really. It makes you scratch your head sometimes, but people who do this kind of stuff, you know, they're not going to be on Jeopardy anytime soon. So it was probably just a crime of necessity there.
That would be an entertaining episode of Jeopardy, though, I must admit. I think that would be fascinating to watch.
Asphalt for 200.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. So you're down at the Medical Examiner's Conference. Anything that you guys are working on that you ought to let us know about or that, you know, we might find interesting?
No, basically what we do is, we have so many medical examiners across the state and they all answer to the board. And sometimes they step down and we have to appoint different people. So it's more like a selection process for different openings. And, you know, they'll talk about trends that they're seeing across the state when they do autopsies, you know, drugs and things like that, if fentanyl's up, down. So we'll discuss all that. And then next week I'll tell you what they had.
Okay. All right. What?
Yes, it's tomorrow morning. It's the meeting.
I see. I gotcha. All right. Oh, I got a text in here from somebody who says it was recycled asphalt. So you were on the right track. It was was, you know, used, pre-used, both basically.
Right.
Earlier in the day, and I know you know this conversation is going on nationally with ICE and, you know, the whole funding issue right now. There are several different demands that congressmen are putting on ICE, and one of the demands is they want body cameras, which I know everybody's on board with body cameras. They want name tags, badges with IDs, and then they want particularly no face masks. And I have said, I know that in certain limited circumstances, you might try to be concealing identities like your undercovers and things like that. But generally speaking, cops, sheriffs, you know, don't wear masks, and they have visible name tags and they have visible IDs. And that to me seems like normal policing. And I don't like the idea of people running around on the streets, arresting people or detaining people that are basically, you know, they look like the goon squad. They might not be. They're perfectly legitimate law enforcement, but they have a look. And I don't like that look. But you're the sheriff. You know, what's your perspective on this?
Well, my perspective is this. Number one, we're in a new era. So when you start talking about, they need to show their faces and names and stuff, if I'm not mistaken, and you can do some research on this, when they initially started this, they did that, and it lasted about a week because people were tracking them down, going to their homes, surrounded their homes with protesters, and so that's when they started masking up and trying to be anonymous. I mean, it's a whole different animal now. I would say this to you. You know, here you are trying to go out and enforce federal law as directed by the President of the United States, and you go out and then no mask, name tag, everything, and then all of a sudden your house gets swarmed and your kids and wife are in there. It's a whole different ballgame for them, and I feel sorry for them. I really do. But the mask part, I would say name tags and badge numbers maybe, no big deal. That's fine. But the mask, I'm all for it. I just think that they need to protect their families. And if it wasn't for these idiots out there that are being paid to come and protest 90% of the time, we wouldn't have to have that. They could have no mask and their name tags and their badge numbers and everything, and it would be fine.
If your officers, like if your deputies were getting this same kind of treatment, would you allow them to do like traffic stops and things in masks like that?
Well, that's the whole point of it. So that's never going to happen in the state of Florida, probably. And the last operation we had down here that I actually responded to in Navarre at the the landscaping business. I saw several of the ICE guys with no mask, and they had their vest on with their name on it, because we're in a whole different ballgame here. We're talking about these Democratic strongholds where – no holds barred. They don't feel like there's going to be any repercussions for what they're doing, throwing bottles, throwing rocks, setting cars on fire. They all think, hey, we're good. And in most cases, they are, because it's run by, you know, these Democrats that don't care anything about enforcing law. So I would say this. If it happened in Santa Rosa County, it wouldn't last long. Let's just put it that way.
So part of the problem is that local law enforcement isn't doing their job to – create a safe environment for even ICE within which they can do their policing. Okay, I mean, I see where that's coming from, and how do you react to that circumstance? We're talking to Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create highway jobs and private capital investments that grow Escambia County's tax base. Not seeing any accidents to report to you right now or delays. Looks like everything's flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Just one last quick thing on the mask thing. If I hear you, you sound very much like basically what Tom Holman was saying yesterday on Face the Nation, which is you don't like the idea, you don't prefer the idea. It's not what you want to do to have face masks on or name tags off.
Right.
But you can see circumstances where that might make sense based on the security or safety needs of the officers and their families. Did I summarize that right?
Yeah, perfectly.
Okay.
Perfectly. I'm not saying carte blanche, everybody should wear a mask and everything like that. But when it comes to the safety of their families, they're just trying to do their job. I mean, they're not going out of, you know, making stuff up and just, you know, hurting people or whatever. They're trying to do what they get paid to do. And then when you do that and you show your identity and your house gets swarmed with your family in it, they need to protect themselves.
Anything else, Sheriff, anything else going on in the county that we ought to know about before we let you go?
God, I hope not.
That's enough.
Hopefully
for now,
not.
For sure. Oh, you know, I did want to ask you something, because I had meant to ask you, I just didn't write it down, and so my brain. interesting conversation that's being had around the drop in crime, which is, Santa Rosa's had a similar 20 to 30% across the board drop in crime over the last couple of years, right?
Yep.
And you and I have talked about that. The question of to what's the cause? You know, obviously technology, things like the flock cameras, various forms of Ring cameras, drones. I mean, all of this stuff is helping you find bad guys and discourage them. But there's also been a conversation, and I believe in this as well, is that, you know, the young, unattached male who is the source of the vast majority of crime in any society is, you know, instead of being out on the streets and partying and drinking and, you know, trying to make babies or not make babies but still play at it, you know, that they're not out there doing the kinds of things that create crime to the way they used to because they're at home on technology or on their phones or playing video games at home. Do you see that as part of the factor, or is it really just policing effectiveness and the other side?
No, I think it's a kind of a combination of both.
Yeah.
Technology has helped us so much. I mean, it's incredible. I started back in 82, and it's a whole different ballgame now. But we have that, and I think it's partly – what you're saying too. Kids just, you know, when they grow up, like my son grew up playing video games and my daughter did, they're just not, I don't know how to say it, outgoing people out at night doing crazy stuff because, yeah, they'd rather sit at home and play Xbox.
Yeah, so, I mean,
which I don't have a problem with.
You know, we all went out and got into trouble, and now they're just staying in and not getting into trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I'm okay with that.
I do have concerns about what that means for who they are long term, and you know, even though the problems that come with going out and having fun and getting into trouble are bad, but also, you know, it's a certain kind of society.
And growing up with technology is really weird. So I've got deputies that if they could, they would text Miranda warnings to people. They really would. So I've got a few of those.
Like they would rather never talk to a person face to face ever.
Yeah, they'd interview them via text if they could. So,
oh my God, that's too funny.
Yeah, that's just the way they're brought up nowadays. So it's a new world out there.
Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, Sheriff, I hope you have a good conference. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you again next week after we find out what happened at the meeting.
All right, sounds good.
All right, 8:22 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars, basically a year to four is kind of like their sweet spot, three, something like that. Cars that have had one, maybe two owners, and they're going to come to you with generally low miles, you know, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles, but in good condition. They warranty all the cars they sell to 10 years or 100,000 miles, which is not extra. That's just included. And they can do that because they only buy for sale good quality cars, A cars, right? They're trying to sell you a car that is going to be reliable like a new car. It just isn't going to maybe have that brand new car smell in it, and you're not going to be the very first owner. But otherwise, you save money because you don't have that first mile. As Dave Ramsey always explains, is the most expensive mile you ever drive in a car. And selection, a lot of different cars, 300 or so on the lot that you can look at and, you know, sit in and fiddle with the knobs and try the seat adjustment and decide what you like and then drive a bunch of them all in one place. Very convenient. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
As head of security, it is my job to keep you alive. I will not succeed.
Your face into that momentary pause of wincing agony, ecstasy, guitar lick. I'm just not sure that we're going to be as close as you think we are. Oh, yeah. All right. John Pickens. I just love music. Could you tell?
Oh, I can tell.
Love music. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, if the music is good, you can enjoy it a little bit. You know, why not? You know, a lot of times in morning radio, what you get is less music than normal and then a bunch of talking. I figure with me, what you get is a bunch of talking and then at least an occasional pretty good song.
Yeah.
That's what we try to give you. Just a little bit of that need for good music in the morning. That's what we're trying to accomplish. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Still looking at I-10, I-110, Avalon, Highway 90. They are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Savannah Guthrie making a public plea for help as the search continues for her mother. Guthrie posting a video on Instagram asking anybody with information to come forward. Nancy's now been missing for 3 weeks, or the case going into its third week. Meanwhile, thousands of users apparently reporting problems with X today, Andrew. According to Down Detector, reports of issues spiked about 8 a.m. Eastern, with users saying they're seeing error messages and their feeds just won't load. Whatever will you do?
I don't know how I will manage to get on with my life.
And Michael Jordan can now add Daytona 500 champion to his resume as a team owner. His 23XI Racing team won Sunday's Daytona 500 with driver Tyler Reddick taking the checkered flag in the number 45 car.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 827 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, state of Florida. You know, we're into that season where bills are either making it or not quite making it. And one of the bills that they're working on... It's HB 371. The title of it is Patriotic Displays in Classrooms. And as a patriot, still, some of this stuff gives me the willies a little bit. It just, I don't know. Here's what the bill, 16-0, okay, it passed a panel. This is in the House, HB. Subject to legislative appropriation, the display of portraits of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln in a conspicuous place at each public school in the district. The Department of Education shall select the portraits and make them available to each school district. So, also, In God We Trust has to be conspicuously displayed at every school. And I don't know, the, you know, industrial portrait complex, people are all for this. The frame manufacturers are... you can't really be the guy who's like, well, I just don't know that we need to have Washington and Lincoln everywhere. But at what point does the state need to be telling schools how to decorate the school? It's weird. Isn't it weird? Well, isn't it weird to not have a portrait of Washington and Lincoln? Well, I mean, why just them? You know, what about Franklin and, you know, what about Eisenhower? And I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. Let schools be schools. If they want to have a portrait of Washington, they will. If they don't, they don't. I don't know. The In God We Trust thing is fine, too. I'm not going to object to that. It seems oddly intrusive. But like a lot of other things that Tallahassee does, like, are you going to be the guy to get up there and say no to a portrait of Lincoln and Washington in the classroom? Okay, whatever. 437-1620. Oh, Senator Ashley Moody has introduced a bill that would stop classifying homeschool students as not having gone to real high school. There's this odd little section of federal statute. I think it has to do with scholarships, but it basically says that it says students who are not high school graduates, and then it goes on basically to kind of talk about them as being other. Like, people who got homeschooled are in the other category as opposed to, you know, real high school students. So in her bill that she's filed, in the heading of the subsection, striking who are not high school students and inserting from non-traditional settings, and then including a paragraph that says high school graduate for purposes of this title, a student who has completed a secondary school education in a homeschool setting that is treated as a homeschool or private school under state law, shall be considered a high school graduate. I don't know how much teeth there was in the way it's written right now, but of course, you know, we homeschooled three kids, so I like the idea that for federal law and scholarship purposes, they're going to consider them high school graduates because, you know, they are.
Good morning. There we go. News Radio 92.3. Sorry, some issues here this morning with our feed or automation or something. It is 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, and we'll catch up with Fox News when we get a chance here at the top of the hour. Taking a look at our local headlines today, though, Escambia County saying that they're planning to replace that skate equipment that was removed from Chimesway Park in the Brent community. Crews took the ramps out earlier this month after concerns were raised about homeless people staying there and the condition of some of the equipment. Commissioner Lumen May said the equipment was damaged and it had to go, but he does think it needs to be replaced. Skaters spoke at a recent county board meeting saying there was a growing need for more public skating spots. The Blake Doyle Skate Park downtown, they say, is often at capacity. The city's Gull Point Skate Park was retired last year. Right now, there's no timeline for when the new equipment at Chimesway will be installed. Pensacola City Councilman Charles Baer saying last week he thinks it's bizarre that the Children's Trust Fund is paying the city to do things the city could do itself. Baer said he didn't support the Children's Trust in the beginning, and he has concerns about the current arrangement.
The fact is that the Children's Trust is struggling, I think. And, I didn't support it in the beginning. And I am very hesitant to submit reports to them about things we're doing with the money that belongs to the citizens of this city. I think that all the things the Children's Trust has done that we could do as a city, in fact, they're funding us to do things, which I just think is a little bizarre.
And Baer said he was never asked for input on the agreement and plans to have a lot to say when the issue comes back around to council next month. Former council member Sherry Myers also spoke and said she opposed the CRA getting Children's Trust money. Councilman Casey Jones last week commending PPD Officer Stout for his patience in helping a young boy that was found wandering alone. Jones said the 5 or 6-year-old child was walking down the street in front of his house earlier this week trying to get to a store where his mom works.
He apparently had wandered out while someone was taking a nap at home and was trying to go to the store where his mom was. My dog scared him away before I can get him to stay too long, but the Officer Stout got there right before he reached Bayou Boulevard and was very patient and kind and empathetic with the boy and followed up with me to let me know what was going on and that he was safe. And
City Administrator David Stafford says they hear stories all the time like that about officers going above and beyond the call of duty. Well, the Shalimar Cheers Pub on North Eglin Parkway was damaged in a fire yesterday. That broke out about 7 a.m. apparently in the kitchen there and extended then into the attic of the building. Local Fire Chief Jeff Wagner says an employee started started some cooking equipment up in the kitchen and noticed the flames a short time later. The employee had apparently tried to put the fire out, but didn't have much luck with that, so he called 911. Now, nobody was injured. The building, however, did sustain heavy damage. A 74-year-old Niceville woman has died after being struck and killed Saturday on Blue Water Boulevard. FHP says she was walking in the pedestrian lane when a driver, an 86-year-old driver, drifted into that lane and hit her. The driver wasn't hurt. The homicide investigator has been assigned to the case. It is 8:34 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up near 69 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 68 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 61 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, a few more passing clouds with a high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 58 degrees, cloudy skies this morning around the area. And let's check in now with John Pickens, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by BathFitters.com. If you're on I-10 eastbound, right around mile marker number 27, we've got a disabled vehicle in the outside lane, and that outside lane is blocked, so make sure you get to the inside lane to get around that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 58 degrees right now. Your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu, the daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
.836 at News Radio 92.3, and this is Your Money Now. Markets here at the opening bell are up just a bit. Well, mixed, actually. The Dow's up about a tenth of a percent, 49,500, almost 501. The S&P is up about 3 points this morning, 6,836. NASDAQ is down 50 points, and that's about a quarter, almost a quarter of a percent at 22,546. The 10-year bond rate down just a bit, 4.05% this morning. Gold prices are down 33.70 at $5,012.60. Silver is down 1.5% at $76.75 this morning. And looking at Bitcoin, we're up about $30 this morning at $68,435 even. Looking at those financial headlines today, Paramount Skydance sweetening its offer to try to buy Warner Brothers Discovery.
According to Bloomberg, Paramount Skydance is now offering to cover $2.8 billion in penalties if Warner Brothers Discovery walks away from its tentative deal with Netflix. Paramount is also promising to guarantee financial backing if the deal doesn't close by the end of the year, with some other incentives included in the offer. Warner Brothers is now obligated to give Netflix a chance to match Paramount's new deal. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. Well, a new report out says Americans fronted most of the cost of tariffs. Data out from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows American consumers and companies paid nearly 90% of the cost of the Trump administration's tariffs through late last year. A report from the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation showed the tariffs amounted to roughly a tax increase of about $1,000 per household in 2025. And a new analysis finds Americans who live alone are paying a so-called singles tax. Data from Zillow shows the typical apartment rent now tops $1,700 after rising 30% over the last 5 years. Zillow named it the singles tax after finding the national average singles pay costs them an extra $10,000 per year. It's 8:39 at News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
You don't need someone yelling at you. You just want someone to say what you're already thinking. That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right. I'm kind of curious how today's goes, and the question is, how often do you comment on social media or react on social media? Now, John, you're not much of a social media person, right?
No.
You don't really. Do you play anything? I mean, is there anything you really have on your phone? Facebook, Instagram,
no.
YouTube?
Yeah. Well, YouTube, yes. Let's go with that.
But you don't comment. Do you comment?
Do every once in a while.
Do you up thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yes.
Okay. So we have something we're working with. Does Discord even have that kind of a feature?
I don't think so.
To react to things?
I don't
use Discord, so I don't know. But my question is, okay, so if you see, 100 posts, okay, in your case, let's say 100 videos on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
How many, what percentage of those do you give a reaction to? Whether it's a comment or a thumb up or a thumb down or a heart or a like or something like that. That's the question of the day. What percentage participation do you give on, media where you're able to give a reaction of some kind? 437-1620, 437-1620. Your answer is?
25%.
About a quarter?
Yeah, about a quarter. I mean, if something is really, really good,
mm-hmm.
I'll definitely hit the thumbs up, or if I have a question for the content creator or an idea, then I'll comment. But normally I don't comment. I just give you a thumbs up.
So the norm is silence.
Yeah.
But a quarter of the time you probably put in a reaction.
Yes.
I think similar question for like restaurant or product reviews, Google, stuff like that. How often do you do those?
Well, that's
a little harder. You got to go out of your way. You kind of have to do it, and then you have to come up with content. No, not very
10%,
often. 10%.
No.
10%. Okay.
But I do fill out all the surveys that they provide.
If they give you stuff like at the restaurant or whatever. Okay. Fair enough. All right. 437-1620. What do you think my answer is?
Yours is no. I don't think you do.
Yeah.
Unless
almost
it's a smarty comment.
almost never. I almost never react to things. Not, which is odd because I like it when people react to my stuff. But, right? I mean, that's if you like reactions, you give them. But I was thinking about this. Sometimes I feel in a more generous mood where I don't think I have ever posted an angry reaction.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the angry emoji. Because I don't know what it means. Does it mean I'm angry at the story or I'm angry at the person for posting it? It's always seemed ambiguous to me.
That's just too many questions.
Yeah, but that's the point. Okay. So when I see things on social media, I almost never react to them. And I was trying to think, what's an accurate number? It's got to be less than 5% for me. And it's probably more like 1% to 2%.
I was thinking 1 to 2 for you.
Very low. And for making a comment, 1 in 1,000, maybe.
You've got to be really motivated for that.
Yeah. And even on my own feed, I don't engage so much with people unless it's interesting. Like if I post something and then people are commenting, I mean, I typically try to give them a like, or I appreciate you commenting or something like that. But I don't argue back a lot. I mean, I might, but every once in a while. But for the most part, if it's on somebody else's feed, if it makes me laugh, I'll give it a, you know, happy, like a laughy emoji. Usually that's the most common reaction I give. Likes occasionally, but I do a lot of next.
Yes, you do.
Next. In fact, I don't even like using the feed that much. The feed is so poorly managed by the algorithm for me. I just use, I mean, I look at the feed a little bit. Like, I use Facebook where I'll go to places where I want to read something. But I know I am not a typical user of social media that way. Same thing on Instagram. I think for some people, it's like 90%. You know, like, heart, you know, whatever. I think for a lot of, for some people anyway, it's a very high participation. I just know for me, it's very low. And I think it's something that's weird about me. Like, I don't do product reviews. I don't post comments on that kind of stuff. I appreciate that other people do. You know, we talk about various companies that I represent, and I love that people post their comments and give their reviews. I don't really do that, you know, much at all, ever. I can't exactly tell you why, I just don't. So 437-1620, 437-1620. The question of the day is, what percentage of the time when you're seeing something on social media are you giving a reaction of any kind? They call it engagement. What percentage of the posts do you give engagement to? And I know for me, I think it is probably it's less than 5. It's probably in the 1-2%. And for actual comments, it's probably more like, you know, 0.1% or something like that. John Pickens has traffic on the 5s. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Let's see here. We just had an accident. Nope. And they just took it off. Okay. So we're rolling accident free right now. Even delay free. I-10, I-110 are looking good. John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. If you're 64, turning 65, or you are retiring, or just for whatever reason you have questions about Medicare or Medicaid or supplement or prescription drug benefits, or you want to talk to somebody that's not an open enrollment, any of that stuff, okay, call Ricky Stewart. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one part. She helps people understand, you know, Medicare in particular. And, you know, you might say, well, I don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Great, call her and ask her. She'll help you. The words are very similar. It's very, you know, if you have it memorized, great. And if you don't, well, it can be confusing. A couple of the reviews for her online, which absolutely confirm everything that I know about her. I've known her for 13 years, as long as we lived here. I highly recommend Ricky if you want the best to help you with Medicare supplemental insurance plans. She's great at it. That's from Greg. Larry writes, she makes it so understandable, easy. And I feel like I made the best choice. Ricky was very pleasant, kind, and understanding. Did everything that she said she was going to do. And that's the point. I mean, honestly, she's the kind of person, I don't know anybody who doesn't like her. And she's very sharp and obviously very capable. So call her and get your questions answered. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance, or look her up online at insuredbyricky, R-I-C-K-I. .com. All right, the question of the day, our frivolous topic of the day is, what percentage of the time do you react to or engage with a social media post? Or for John, it was YouTube. I'm Facebook and Instagram, and I mean, I don't participate on X at all. I don't even know. I'd have to figure if I ever even put a heart. Probably I have occasionally. But
you do have the app.
For X?
Yes.
I do. It's actually on my phone. I don't ever use it on my phone, though. I mean, it's been a while since I posted anything. I use it more to just, if there's some video I want to see that I can't find anywhere else, I'll look it up on X. But X is such a toxic place anyway. It's just, people who spend so much time there, I don't understand. Anyway, to the text, 437-1620, somebody says, yes, Discord does have likes. And yes, I'll comment or like, but only in a few platforms. I've left reviews for good or bad services. Don says, very low participation rate, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000, somewhere in there. Probably closer to 1 in 10,000. Man, how many posts do you have to scroll through? How many bites before you get to the middle of a Tootsie Roll Pop? Never been on social media on purpose. Let's see. People used to say, oh, my God, you're not on Facebook. These days they say, gosh, I wish I weren't. That's probably accurate. Somebody else says, less than 10%. Anything more and it starts clogging my algorithm with related content. Oh, you know, there's good and bad news for you, though. yes. If you engage with the, you know, post and you like it or you, but I hate to tell you this, but just pausing the scrolling, it notices that too. You know, if you look at something a while, it thinks you like that, and it'll show you more of it.
Or if you just went and gone to the bathroom. I mean,
I didn't say the algorithm. I didn't say the algorithm was smart.
Oh, okay.
I'm just telling you what it does. So, you know, you pause to read something that somebody wrote who you can't stand, and guess what? You're seeing a lot in the future. It's terrible. It doesn't only wait for your reaction. Let's see. When you hear something and if you respond too quickly, it's called poking the bear. Nothing good comes of it. Somebody else says, really should engage with anyone that you want to see in your feed. Right. I mean, you can teach the algorithm what to feed you by giving it engagement. I just hate that whole thing. Anyway, it's likes are like a high five, and it's a good way to bookmark content you like. Yeah, no, that's true, because you can then come back and find it later if you want to. All right, that's our conversation for the day. 8:50 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night party in downtown Pensacola. But move to around Plaza Ferdinand, Government, and surrounding area due to construction on Palafox. Enjoy the art vendors, music, food, and the fun of the Pensacon theme. Saturday, check out the Palafox Market from 9 till noon. North Palafox will be filled with farm fresh produce, plants, baked goods, and more with over 200 vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right. Booger.
Council consent to the appointment of Eric Lindstrom as Chief of Police for the Pensacola Police Department.
Move the approval.
Second.
I think we have moved by Councilman Bear, seconded by Councilman Moore.
Yeah, no real drama around all of this on Thursday. Eric Lindstrom did get appointed by the City Council or confirmed by City Council on a 7-0 vote. Not really much of a surprise. Sherry Myers, former City Councilwoman, now Councilwoman Emeritus, she had a lot of participation, and she was trying hard not to be angry all day. It was kind of funny. She's like, I'm trying to be peaceful. She's fighting against her inner frustrations. It all came out at the very end. But on her way there, she had this question to ask about the crime drop statistics.
The question I have is, if the statistics the mayor has been putting out is true, why was Chief Randall fired? Because, obviously, he did a good job. If crime in all categories has been greatly reduced. So I have a problem with that, because it seems like that he did a good job.
So that's an interesting question. It's not an unfair question. If crime has gone down dramatically over the last couple of years, and, you know, the person who was leading the organization in Pensacola Police Department was Eric Randall, why did the mayor feel the need to get rid of him if crime has been down? And, you know, it's a good question. It's a fair question. And the question there is, okay, to what degree is Eric Randall responsible for the crime doctor in Pensacola? And, you know, if Pensacola were unique in this, or if it was the one place that was doing it so much better than anywhere else, that would be one thing. But it hasn't been, as we've been kind of talking about off and on throughout the morning. We've had this drop across the board, and there are reasons for it. Jen Brayer?
So I think that there is, because there's been a lot of talk this week about the reduction in crime. I think that we are just following a national trend that is going on right now. As a matter of fact, I think the, I can't think what magazine, but a big publication just did this week a recognition that there's been a somewhat reduction in crime across the country. That tends to be the way it works, doesn't it? That we kind of follow larger trends than within cities, or is it more confined to within cities?
No, she's right. That has definitely been a trend, and Eric Winstrom answered and confirmed that that has been a trend across agencies, across cities and counties, across the United States.
You are very correct. Now, there are certainly outliers. There are cities across the country that have not followed that trend, but the city I'm coming from shared a similar drop in crime from 23. 2020 was certainly the pinnacle for most municipalities. That continued to 21. 22 got a little softer, and 23 and 24 we saw significant drops. So it is not you can't credit police entirely, and but certainly I don't think it would be possible without a very professional police department here.
And I do agree with that as well.
Yeah, and that's right. That's kind of what we were talking about earlier in the hour with Bob Johnson, talked about last Thursday with Mike Wood, that there have been changes in society related to technology for policing and changes in society itself related to technology, and kids basically staying in and playing video games a lot and being on social media instead of getting out and meeting and having parties and, you know, stealing six packs and, you know, all this stuff. Well, what did you do when you were a kid, John?
Well, you said stolen six packs. Do you have a story to tell us?
My stories are weak. But, we got out and we got into trouble. And some got into more. And some got into crime. And, you know, if kids aren't getting out and getting into stuff and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, well, they're not committing crimes. And that seems to be where we are. I mean, heck, they don't even get driver's licenses until they're 18 or 19.
Oh, I know. That's crazy.
It's so weird, right? And we're in a different society. And I think that is part of it as well. Also, she asked Jen Brayer, did I do traffic? Did I skip
nope.
you? Okay, yeah, go ahead, do traffic. Me. Go on.
All right. No accidents or delays to report to you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you get up in the morning after a good night's sleep and it's not a good night's sleep, go get a new mattress. You know, chances are pretty good that if you go to bed rested and wake up feeling, you know, stiff and sore, that's not a you problem. That's a mattress problem. It's supposed to be the other way around. You go to bed feeling sore and tired and wake up feeling, yes, like I'm ready for the day. So go to the Sleep Center and ask questions. You know, Thane Taylor, he's the owner. I just got a chance to meet him last week. They've been doing business for 30 years, you know, since 1995. December, they started in the Eastgate Shopping Center. Now they're on Creighton, just east of Davis on the north side of the road. But they had their best year last year. They're still growing. You know, people often imitate them in all kinds of ways. Imitate their ads, imitate their store look, imitate, you know, but okay, often imitated, never replicated. They have the best selection of mattresses in town, the best service. That's all kinds of things. Like, if you don't want to talk to a person, fine, just browse at your heart's content. If you want to talk to a person, great. But, like, one of the things for their salespeople is their salespeople start in delivery. So they learn how customers use the mattresses. They see homes. They see what kinds of problems people might encounter in buying something and then put it in their house. It's just a start at the bottom kind of mindset so that you really know what you're doing when you're actually on the showroom floor. And best price, you know, of course, no problem. No commission, no pressure. They're really big on not being the kind of place that you don't want to go to. Because I know you. You're just like me. You don't want to go to the mattress store. You put it off longer than you should because God knows you don't want to deal with those people. We all feel that way. But the Sleep Center, they know that you feel that way, and they're trying to not be that kind of a place all the time. They have a 30-day better rest guarantee, 60 days. You can return it for store credit. And the basic principle there is, look, if you have ever had, been treated badly by a mattress or by a mattress store, then go to the Sleep Center. They will take care of you. Again, on Creighton, on the north side of the street, just east of Davis Highway. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3, back to PPD, now Chief Eric Winstrom, talking with Jen Brayer about coming here.
We are very proud of Pensacola. We're glad that you've come. You've got quite a resume. And this really is, you're going to make that big move from Michigan down here?
Yeah, down in February. Who would do that? Yeah.
I don't know, but so you're
we're excited. I already have a contract on a house in the city, and I have a 14-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter. We already have schools picked out and plans, and they'll be here in 13 days.
And so you're planning to live within the city limits.
Oh yeah. Excellent. Yep, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, welcome to Pensacola.
That's really, I mean, I want this job, but I want to be part of the city. In every way.
I love that answer. Not just I want this job, I want to be the head of PPD, but I want to be part of the city. I want to be invested here. And, you know, you can have a good conversation about to what degree the police chief needs to live in the city. And, I think it makes more sense. But just that kind of enthusiasm for being a part of the community, is it shows up in little ways, you know, and that's one of those little ways. Let's see, 8:59 here on News Radio 92.3. So excited for him to come. And it does make me remember that when I got recruited to move to Arizona to do radio, they did the recruiting in December. Sure. Come to Arizona. It's like this all the time. It's not. but I'm assuming he knows what it's like in the summer here. But it is different than it is in the winter. Meg's up next. Stick around.